talking on all political subjects and taking on all callers. This is Matt Flynn Direct with your host, Matt Flynn. Sooner or later, gotta cut you down.
Welcome to Matt Flynn Direct, coming to you in Madison on Devil Radio 92.7 FM and WTTN 1580 AM. And Waukesha on the Shaw 101 FM and WAUK 540 AM. Statewide on Civic Media. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. No subject is off limits, and all points of view are welcome. And remember, you're not woke if you don't know history. You're not woke unless and until you know history. You're going right to the front lines of history in the making. And we're going to start with the story of the hour, the execution of the search warrant on Mar-a-Lago for classified documents, some secret documents, some top secret documents, and some the highest level top secret compartmented, which means that only a handful of people are permitted to even see them, and they must go to a secure location to see them. And they were unguarded in a storage room in Mar-a-Lago for over a year when the archives kept negotiating with Trump to return them, and he refused. 7 months ago, Trump sent back something like a dozen boxes of shredded and torn documents. That wasn't everything. In June, the Justice Department and the FBI met with Trump's lawyers. Trump came through the room, didn't engage, just breezily waved at everybody, and a Trump lawyer signed a document saying that everything had been turned over. That was false. Saying that verbally, even, much less in writing, to law enforcement is a felony. It's called obstruction. If the lawyer did it on purpose, the lawyer committed a felony. If the lawyer was told by Trump that everything had been turned over and that was false, then Trump has committed a felony. When they realized after the June meeting that Trump's people were still lying, they executed a search warrant. Search warrant was signed by a magistrate judge in Florida in the normal course. The odd thing about this was, when you have a search warrant signed, or as a lawyer like myself, who is not a prosecutor or a criminal defense lawyer, you occasionally have to have a judge sign something like a temporary restraining order, that kind of thing. So you go up to the courthouse, and the same thing is true with a search warrant. You go to the duty judge. A lot of judges in all these courtrooms are working, but they take turns being the duty judge. And the duty judge is supposed to entertain emergency signature requests like that, like search warrants and like temporary restraining orders and other things. In this case, the duty judge was gone for some reason. So Judge Reinhardt was there, and he signed it. That's what happens if the duty judge is out on the bench and hearing a trial. They can't interrupt that to sign something. Then you just go to anybody. You walk into a courtroom, look for a judge. His trial's adjourned. He's in his chambers writing an opinion, and you have him sign it or her sign it. So this Reinhardt in Florida was not even the duty judge, and it came to him just by chance. He read the affidavit, and he said, absolutely. There's probable cause to believe that there was a criminal violation of three statutes. One of them is the Espionage Act, spying and helping to the detriment of the United States, a foreign power, our enemy, and turning over to them documents that will assist them in injuring the United States. And he found there was probable cause to believe that there's evidence in Mar-a-Lago showing that. So they went, and I'm going to give you the updates right now. The Justice Department just yesterday brought a motion to continue to have the affidavit underlying the search warrant kept under seal. Now, what does that mean? When you go in for a search warrant, you don't just go walking in and shoot the breeze with the judge. You don't go, well, judge, sign this search warrant. We want to go sniffing around this guy's house. You can't do it. One reason that the revolution was fought was to put through the Fourth Amendment. The Fourth Amendment prohibits unreasonable searches and seizures, requires a warrant signed by an independent judge who has to assume, based on the warrant, based on the affidavit, has to believe in good faith that a crime was committed, that there's probable cause to believe a crime was committed. Now, at the conviction stage, you have to convince a jury beyond a reasonable doubt, but to get a search warrant, you only have to show evidence to the judge that's by what's called a preponderance of the evidence. In other words, it's more likely than not that a crime was committed. So you can't just go in and say, judge, give me a search warrant. You have to submit an affidavit. An affidavit is a signed statement under oath. Another under oath. So if somebody lies in an affidavit, that's perjury, that's false swearing, just as if they said it on the stand in a trial. This one is about 70 pages long, apparently, and it gives in detail all of the evidence, the informants, what kind of documents are there, that there's a criminal investigation going on, and one of the that there's a major threat to U.S. security. Those affidavits are never, ever disclosed until there's an actual criminal charge against a person. And if there's never a criminal charge, they never get published. They never get exposed. But if there is a criminal charge, they get turned over to the defense lawyer. And the defense lawyer can do whatever he wants with it. And it can come in as evidence at a trial. An affidavit on its own is not evidence. It's hearsay. But a defense lawyer can use it to cross-examine an FBI agent on the stand, that kind of thing. So why did the Justice Department have to go in with a motion to keep secret, to keep under seal, S-E-A-L? In other words, it's in the judge's chambers in a manila envelope with a seal on it and the date on it, and do not open. And it's kept secure. Why they have to do that? Normally, they wouldn't have to do that. But in this case, they revealed the warrant and the inventory of what was taken. That's never normally revealed either. And the only reason it was here is Trump and all his people kept saying, show us the basis for what you did, hoping that Merrick Garland would not turn over the warrant and show why they did it. Garland did something that I think that was very wise. What he did is, he went to the court and he said, I'm not going to turn it over unless you tell me I can, but I'd like to. So please tell me I can. And the judge said to the Trump people, do you object? If Trump had objected, it would not have gotten turned over. It would not have been published. Trump was caught between a rock and a hard place, because if it's exposed, he looks very, very bad. Violation of the Espionage Act and top secret information taken from the government. But if he opposed it after he'd been calling for it, he would have looked really bad. So he said, I have no objection. What was revealed in the motion to keep the affidavit, as opposed to the search warrant and the inventory under seal, is that there's an ongoing grand jury looking at a criminal investigation and potential indictments for this conduct. And who are those indictments going to be of? Donald Trump, whoever helped him bring the documents to Mar-a-Lago. It may be that the mole, that the informant that told government what was down there and where it was, is doing it to save himself jail time. We don't know who it is yet. There's been speculation about Jared Kushner, Mark Meadows. Mick Mulvaney, Trump's former chief of staff, said that it could only be one of about six or eight people. Everybody knows who they are. Trump is reportedly very paranoid right now that people that are coming to see him, who he thought were his friends, are being wired. They have wires on them. That's what he is very concerned about. But as a result of all this, there have been stepped up physical threats against the FBI. There was a man in Pennsylvania who was just arrested, kept tweeting out, if you're in the FBI, you deserve death. You know something? Start arresting these people. This is going on all over the country, not just the FBI and this one. When law enforcement is threatened, when election officials are threatened, when health officials are threatened, the people threatening them should be arrested and sent to prison. And even if it's a short prison sentence, in this case, it should be quite a long prison sentence. You don't threaten law enforcement. The insurrectionists went up and beat up and severely injured more than 100 Capitol police officers, breaking jaws. Guy gets his eye poked out, concussions. There were deaths. That can only be stopped by very long prison sentences. Very long prison sentences. I'll tell you what, Trump is trying to make diversionary arguments in the course of taking these documents. In one of the boxes, Trump had three passports. One was expired. One was the kind of passport you and I have. And the other one was called a diplomatic passport that presidents are issued. It was in a box that was subject to the search warrant. The FBI had no need or interest in keeping those passports. All Trump had to do was to call them and say, I want them back. Is Trump a flight risk? I don't know. If he gets indicted, I think he is. Right now, he's hoping he won't be indicted. Yesterday, they just returned his passports. They said these were stuck in, these confidential classified documents. But that's the kind of thing he tries to make hay out of. He also yesterday attacked the judge, Judge Reinhardt, and the Department of Justice after the previous day taunting Merrick Garland by tweeting him and saying, the country is on fire. What can I do to help? Snicker, snicker, snicker. Well, here's how he helped. He attacked the judge. Now, when you attack a federal judges don't have security. They're very vulnerable. Trump is ginning up violence against law enforcement and the judiciary, and that's got to stop. That's got to stop, and enough's enough. And at this point, everybody's saying, well, former president, and give him some leeway. This guy, remember, is indistinguishable from Putin in his desires. So far, he's been somewhat constrained, but his continued attacks on law enforcement and the federal judiciary have to be met with a criminal charge, in my view. Going to break. Lines are open, 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break.
You can run on for a long time. Run on for a long time. Run on for a long time.